We're doing some sort of eclectic sermons over these last next few weeks. Started one last week, and then this week I've got one out of Psalm 121. We're going to just mainly stick in that psalm, so if you'd like to turn there, and you won't have to flip around today. 121's where we'll be. But we are doing some eclectic sermons, so just kind of random stuff. I don't know if your family is like mine, but whenever we're going on a long trip, usually sometimes overnighters, but usually if it's like a long sort of all-day driving sort of a trip, we will, in the driveway, in the car, as we're ready to pull out, we'll bow our heads and we'll pray for a safe travel and safe return. That's just kind of a family routine that we have gotten into. And we, probably like you, have run into numerous sort of things along our travels and times where the unexpected happens, and it's kind of nice to talk to God and ask Him to bless the journey because you never know what's going to be happening on the road in front of you. For example, when I was in seminary and we were in Kentucky, we would often drive to Illinois, southern Illinois, and spend time with my wife's parents and family. And there was one particular trip where we were on our way from Kentucky, from Louisville, into southern Illinois. We're on the interstate, 64, and it was foggy that particular evening. And as we were driving, I was cruising right along. I had no worries about it. I'm sure I could see the taillights, cars that were ahead of me. Was not worried about anything like that until the deer just miraculously was standing in the center of the highway. The deer was standing right there on the dashed line between the two lanes that you're supposed to be driving in, and I had to make a split-second decision. Do I go to the right or to the left? Is the deer going to jump forwards or backwards? What am I going to, like, do to keep us from smacking this deer at high speed? And so I took a quick turn. I probably went to the right because that's just kind of instinctively what I'm doing when I'm telling the story. And I got around the deer. The deer, like, was just standing there oblivious to anything had happened. But who else was oblivious was Nelda, who by the time I jerked the car one way and jerked it back, she was going, "What happened?" We dodged this deer in the highway. So anyway, when I did that, I heard just the slightest amount of pop. And didn't think too much of it, kind of was a little concerned, so I slowed down just a bit. Not only that, but my heart was racing. But I slowed down just a little bit, and everything seemed to be fine, so on we went. In fact, everything was fine for quite a while. We drove back to Kentucky, and then when I was in the gas station, filling up, getting ready for my next trip to southern Illinois, so quite a bit later, I was in the parking lot of the gas station, filled up, and as I turned, I heard pop, pop, pop. And I thought, well, maybe I ran over something. Cruising back to southern Illinois, get there just fine. I have lunch with my father-in-law at this fabulous barbecue place in Murfreesboro. And as we are pulling out, I turn the wheel again to get back on the road. I hear pop, 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 and then chunk. The wheel had literally fallen off the vehicle. In fact, it really had fallen off because when the guy came to tow the vehicle, he picked it up and the wheel and a rod just kind of went onto the ground. So we drove all of that way with damage and braking, and yet at the slowest possible speed with my father-in-law out of a restaurant is when the wheel falls off. That, I think, is some good timing on God's part. Another trip is similar in that we were on our way during the winter. We were headed back to Louisville. And if you're driving on 64 and you're headed towards Louisville, headed east, you know that there is a kind of a crest where the kind of Corydon, I think, is the town. I guess I should do it this way for you guys. Corydon's kind of the town at the top of the hill, and once you get to the top of the hill, you kind of slope down into the valley to get towards the river and Louisville itself. And as we crested the hill, I saw cars lined up all the way over the river into Louisville with all their brake lights on. And as I hit the brakes, I realize why. It's because the ice has covered the road, and there are very little traction. And so as I'm pumping the brakes and slowing down and trying to keep the car from wrecking or whatever, we make it gently to a stop right in front of or right behind the car in front of us. Perfectly timed. Travel in life brings all kinds of unexpected things. Life can be that way too. The journey that we're on in life leads to all kinds of unexpected things. Things you would not have planned for or thought could have occurred. And yet we have a God who is present. We have a God who is always with us. That is the theme of Psalm 121. It's a psalm of God's presence. It's part of a collection of psalms called the Psalms of Ascent, A-S-C-E-N-T. And they have a special role in the life of Israel. The Psalms of Ascent were the ones that they sang as they were going to Jerusalem for all of their different festivals and events. Whenever they came to Jerusalem to worship, it was kind of a small little hymn book that they would sing along the journey. And it became even more significant when they arrived in the city. When they arrived in Jerusalem, the temple was up on the mountain there, and they had to climb all these stairs and steps to get up to the top to worship. It's one of the reasons why they're called Songs of Ascent, because you're going up to worship. And so many of these psalms are about traveling on our journey in life and traveling to see God. And this one happens to be one about God's presence, as I mentioned before. The very first two verses of this psalm are different than the other six. The first two are a personal statement, a testimony of faith. A testimony of faith. They read this way. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I lift up my eyes. When people were on their journey walking to Jerusalem for the various festivals, they went through hilly and mountainous terrain. It was that terrain where people would have lookout towers or cities or places, and they could see down in the valley if there was any distress, if there was any difficulty, they could see it from up above. And so if there was help that was coming, it wasn't coming from the valley where they couldn't be seen, but from the mountains. When we're in times of distress too, oftentimes we hang our heads low. If we're depressed or sad or upset about something, the natural posture is this way, looking down into the gloom, thinking about our own problems and internal difficulties. But a person who's hopeful, their heads are up. Our hope, our eyes need to be directed towards the Lord and His aid and help. You can go through all kinds of difficulties and sufferings in life. And if they are overwhelming and we are downcast, we have averted our eyes and failed to look towards the hope that we have. The Lord is always ready and available to be our aid and comforter and helper in difficult times. These verses here are about a personal faith. I and my are the words repeated so often. But the writer, the author's faith is in the Lord and calls him such, the Lord, that great name of Israel. The writer also describes the Lord as the maker of heaven and earth. These two words are so often linked together because the point of writing them is not to say that God merely made the heavens or the earth. It's to say that God made everything. Heaven and earth, everything in between is the Lord's. This is a testimony of faith. The person has put their trust in the Lord and looks to Him for their answers in times of need. These first two verses, like I mentioned, are different than the other six. The first two verses are a personal statement of faith, a person saying what they believe and trust. But the next six verses are a response to that. They are a blessing of response. The way it probably worked was that as they were going into the city of Jerusalem and they were headed up the steps to go to the temple, that they would be singing these first few verses, the first two. And then as they were ascending, the priests who were supposed to provide the music and the choir were lining up above the steps. And the priests were singing these next six verses in response. They are verses of blessing upon the person who has put their trust in the Lord. The next two verses, verses 3 and 4, are about God's perfect presence. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep. Back when we were camping, we kind of noticed that everybody in the family had trouble navigating the steps coming out of the camper. And part of the reason why that was because wherever you camped, the ground was not necessarily at the same height as the last place that you camped. And so sometimes that last step was a lot longer, and sometimes that last step was a little shorter, depending on the terrain where you parked the camper. Everybody had trouble with it, but the person we were most concerned about was Joey. Joey, navigating the steps, he had some troubles. Partly it was because he couldn't hold on to the handle that was provided for the big people. But the other thing that really concerned us was that Joey might be on the steps and that someone else might burst through the door and send him flying. And so I found myself over and over again standing next to Joey as he's coming in or going out of the camper, just to be right there, whether to hold his hand, whether to guide him, whether just to be there in case something happened. This psalm is about God being there in every aspect and every moment of our lives. The two verses repeat the idea that God does not slumber or sleep. To our minds, I think that's kind of a funny thing. We often don't even imagine that God might slumber or sleep because we have heard about God our whole lives. But in Israel, they were surrounded by other cultures where they believed in a pantheon of deities. And those pantheon of deities were much more human in a way. And so the going joke in the Old Testament is that if God isn't answering your prayers, if the person you're talking to isn't answering, then they must be asleep. They must have taken a nap. The psalmist here is making the statement that God never sleeps. He never takes a nap. He's always alert and awake. His presence never slumbers. God is able to respond to our requests day or night. He never takes a moment off from being God. His presence is perfect. It's always there, ready to take care and listen to his children and their requests. The next stanza, verses 5 and 6, speak of that protection, God's protective presence. presence. They read this way: "The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night." Travelers in the ancient world had to worry about all kinds of difficulties that we don't. When you're riding in your car, unless you've got a convertible, you're pretty much shielded from the sun. And it's kind of nice to have that air conditioning running. It's a little cooler. You're not sweating all the time. But they had none of those comforts. A person traveling from place to place could easily be burned by the sun. They could become dehydrated. They could have all kinds of troubles during the daytime. But at night, it was all kinds of other troubles as well. At night, was the wild animals could be out and about, or the wild people who didn't like to follow the rules either. They could be all crouching around, ready to spring. But the point of that the psalmist is making is that on their journey, as they're going, that they should have no worries. For God, who made heaven and earth, is over the sun and the moon, the day and the night, and all of our time on earth. God is protective. He numbers our days and guards us against early death. The third kind of presence the psalmist talks about here is a persistent presence. 7 and 8 read, "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." That word "forevermore" should stick in our minds. The psalmist is pointing to something that is rarely talked about in the Old Testament, and that is that there is eternal life. The Lord can watch over now while we're living, but for Him to be able to watch over us forevermore means that even though we might die, we still live in His presence. That our souls still exist for Him to care for and watch. Now and forevermore points to an eternal life, that even in death we still have life and He is watching it. The words "coming and going" talk about all the things that we do throughout our day, aren't we? There's very few of us who stay at home and never leave. We're always coming and going, aren't we? The point is that the Lord watches over us coming, going, or whatever else we're doing. These blessings, these responses, were reminders that those who put their trust in the Lord have His perfect presence, His special presence. Wonderful protective presence always in their lives. Verse 1 and 2 are the statements of faith. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." To what mountain are you looking to for your help today? In our struggles and in our difficulties, are we looking to the Lord and seeking His presence in our lives? In the Old Testament, there were any number of other gods that they could have prayed to or talked to, but today, the gods that we tend to lean on are riches or education. Sometimes we make our parents the gods in our lives that we lean on and depend on. Other times, our children. There's only one God who's truly protective of you now and forevermore. That is the Lord, the great I Am. So lift up your eyes. If you're weary or burdened, if you're hurting, scared, or scarred, lift up your eyes to the God who does not sleep and has a perfect presence. To the God who protects you day and night. And the God who will not stop sending you aid or strength or help. Lift up your eyes. It's easy in life to get busy, to put our faith and trust in other things. But all things other than God will disappoint. Be that person who can say with their testimony of faith that they have put their trust in the Lord and they call on Him. We have an amazing God who's willing to send His one and only Son so that He might rescue and save us. But this God doesn't stop there. His presence is with us. Let's remind ourselves to put our faith and trust in the Lord day after day. Let's pray. Lord, Your amazing grace shows the depths to which You are willing to go to save us. Lord, we thank You that You are willing to provide for us when we were unable to save ourselves. But Lord, we are reminded that day by day, time after time, that You will never leave us nor forsake. Lord, no matter what struggles we face, no matter what difficulties we might be in, teach us to lift our eyes, to turn our eyes and attention to You, the God who is always awake.